Steve Paulette, you're the greatest. I love it. That's a song about Jackie Robinson. I love it. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. I'm so excited. My next guest is an artist, which I believe in our society and in every society is the greatest compliment you can give some. He's not just a great plumber, he's an artist. He's not just a great surgeon, he's an artist. But how about when you're really an artist? And that's who's here, the great Branley Cadet. Branley, thanks so much for waking up early to be with us.
Thanks so much for having me on this show. And it was great to hear that song, actually. In my research, I didn't come across that song. It was definitely great to hear.
So, Branley, believe it or not, I was an art history major in college. I took a left turn and became an orthopedic surgeon. But deep in my heart, I love art. And I particularly am obsessed with Michelangelo. So when I saw your sculpture, and George Briones arranged to have you on, and I saw in person and then in pictures the sculpture you made of Jackie Robinson, you did not take the easy way out and depict him landing on top of home plate. You depict him before he slides, and it made me think of Michelangelo and the David. It's the only time in art history that we see David before he kills Goliath. We don't have the decapitated head of Goliath telling us it's David. He wants us to know already it's David, and how he is scared and how he must be confident at the same time. What is it about showing Jackie Robinson at the beginning of the slide that is going through your mind in depicting the great Jackie Robinson in his career?
Wow. Well, to be compared to Michelangelo is always a great honor. I certainly wasn't thinking of him when I was sculpting. I was thinking of Michelangelo in terms of the quality of the sculpture, but not necessarily.
And it is
a sculpture.
Yes.
And trying to strive for that. So thank you for that. That comparison.
You're welcome.
As far as the start of the slide, I think with the sculpture, we wanted to try and capture the metaphor of what Jackie Robinson represented in American history as well as in baseball. Mm-hmm. He represented the beginning of a new era in baseball and in American history. It was the first time, I think there were other players who had played in the major leagues, maybe not for an extended period, but as soon as Jackie Robinson started, he is clearly recognized as the person who broke the color line permanently. We really wanted to have that metaphor in place, the start of the slide, the start of breaking the color line, and really the start of the change of race relations in the United States.
Hmm. I also read where you said that Jackie Robinson said, quote, "A life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives." Listen to this soundbite of Denzel Washington getting his Oscar, seeing in the crowd Sidney Poitier, and saying the following.
But he did something that was much more important. He gave me his time, his advice. And I can honestly say that the reason I'm up here today is because of Sidney Poitier, because of the time he gave me, the advice he gave me, the example he provided for me and many other African-American actors. I love you. I respect you. I imitate you. God bless you.
There is a difference, Branley, between sculpting a star and sculpting a leader. What is the difference to you?
I think for me, the big difference is sculpting a star versus a leader is the impact. The impact transcends the realm that leader normally functions in. So Jackie Robinson wasn't just a baseball player. He also was an American leader, an American hero. And his life and his choices and the things that he endured had an impact on people not only in baseball, but well beyond baseball and, frankly, well beyond his generation. I had kids coming up to me telling me how Jackie Robinson was one of their heroes. And, you know, they certainly weren't alive when Jackie Robinson was alive.
Tell us, Branley, a little bit about who you are. What did your dad do for a living? When did Cupid shoot you in the heart and say, of all the things you can be in life, you're going to be an artist? Take us through the beginnings of your life.
Sure. So my dad immigrated here from Haiti back in the 60s, and he was a civil engineer. And my mom was a teacher. So I think this is all pre-internet days. So in order to occupy us kids, they would my mom would hand us papers and pencils and crayons, and we would just keep ourselves occupied for hours just drawing. So I think it was that. I guess I must have started with Play-Doh like every kid starts. But I guess it wasn't until college, studying sculpture and reading about sculpture, seeing sculptures in books all over the world, in Europe and in Benin. It was, I think that sort of inspired me to just explore this initially.
Now, you got the chance to meet Jackie Robinson's wife. Listen to Jackie Robinson. This is from a Dick Cavett interview talking about the strength he got from his family.
I'm sure that a lot of it was thought to be strategy, but it wasn't going to upset me. There was really too much to be done at that particular time in terms of breaking the baseball barrier to allow name-calling to bother me. I keep remembering what my mother told me when I was a kid, although I've always been a guy that turned back. She said something about sticks and stones will break your bones, you know, and so not to be concerned about it. Well, I didn't at the time, and fortunate for the advice that I got from Mr. Rickey and the encouragement and the guidance I got from my wife at home, we were able to withstand most of the kinds of situations that came up. We were prepared because of the numbers of people on our side.
The encouragement he got from his wife. Tell us about his wife.
Well, I would say that she, too, is a great leader. She has certainly carried the torch and led away a path herself through her foundation, through her constant outreach. I mean, she could have gone on and lived a quiet life, but she chose to be engaged in a community, to be engaged with the world, and to constantly inspire others to continue the work of Jackie Robinson and her work, too. So she's constantly fighting the good fight and working for good causes. So she's as much of an inspiration to me, frankly. And it was an honor to meet her and her daughter and son.
Have you ever worked in stone, Brandley?
I have not. I that requires a lot more patience than I have.
As a surgeon, I have to see through your skin and use my hands to touch the landmarks that I can feel on your skin and go and literally see through the skin at the anatomy that's underneath. It's kind of like looking at a marble block where I can see the figure buried beneath. And in stone carving, the masterpiece is there. It's a subtraction. You're actually destroying the rock to create something. But drawing, painting, and clay is additive. But tell us a little bit about what it's like to show emotion in a sculpture. How do you do it? Tilting the face, the hands, where is the most emotion coming from as a sculptor?
I think a lot, there are a lot of ways that we can try and capture, that I try and capture emotion. So in the same way that a dancer uses their body to try and capture emotion, as a sculptor, you're also trying to have the dynamism of the pose capture emotion. And certainly the expression of his face is definitely the most common and definitely another area that has to be rendered in a way that captures the emotion. I tried to do that with Jackie Robinson's sculpture also. But I would say I wanted to have the emotion expressed in every part of the sculpture. So whether it was the pose or the clothes and how the folds were folding were rendered abstractly, of course, but there are many ways that emotions can be captured.
It's just your work is just beautiful. Do you play music while you're working? Do you work in silence? Tell us a little bit about your process.
Well, as far as what I listen to when I'm working, so I work in silence. I play music. I'm a fan of Audible. It's a revelation for me, which is books on tapes, essentially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely listen to a lot of music when I play in the spectrum. I used to study the violin, so I listened to classical, jazz, hip hop, really the spectrum, world music, the spectrum.
When I surf in Hawaii, there's a shaper of surfboards who's essentially a sculptor. His name is Bruno, and he told me that because I asked him, when you're shaping a surfboard, do you listen to music? He goes, "Oh yes, I listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan. I do, you know, all these great guitar players." And I said to him, "Bruno, you think that you're putting some of that music into the surfboard the person then rides? And when I operate, I listen to Eric Clapton. And I wonder if a person walks a little better and faster if an Eric Clapton song goes on while they're walking with the hip replacement I put in there. I almost wonder if you've put a little bit of music or violin into the sculptures that you're making."
Well, that Jackie sculpture has a whole spectrum of things, a whole spectrum of music. Actually, one of the things I listened to was his autobiography. So that quote that you mentioned was towards the end of his autobiography. So while I was sculpting, I was actually listening to, I think it was Ozzy Davis that was reading his autobiography on the books on tape that I had. Wow. So that was actually quite a moving experience.
Now, are you a sports fan yourself?
I tend to follow sports during the tail end, so I don't follow it during the season.
You're a bandwagon.
yes, exactly. I joined the bandwagon.
Now, you grew up in Queens?
Primarily in Queens. Went to school upstate New York, and then moved to Manhattan and Brooklyn, and then finally to California.
Yeah, you know, I'm from Far Rockaway. You know where that is?
Of course.
You make a left at the gunfight. That's how you get to my house, Brian.
You make a left. Funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Now, if you were to choose between the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, who are you rooting for? This interview could be over right now, Brantley.
It depends on which stadium I'm in.
Wow. So what are you working on now? What's the future for you?
So right now I'm working on a monument for Philadelphia City Hall. It's another historical figure. This is a Civil War era gentleman, educator, and activist named Octavius Caddo. Mm-hmm. So he helped to desegregate trolley cars in Philadelphia, and also helped to ratify the 15th Amendment, which is right for men of color to vote.
Wow. So you depict leaders. That's your niche. That's what you do. You don't just make sculptures of people. You make them of leaders.
I hope so.
Can I ask you one question that I've always wondered whether it is myth or reality? I was told, because there's lots of sculptures when you walk around Manhattan, which I love doing, if you see the general or whoever they're depicting on a horse, and if the horse, all 4 feet are on the ground, the guy died of natural causes. But if the horse's feet are in the air, that means the guy died in battle. Is that true?
I would have to Snopes that. I've heard that same myth. Followed through to check it. I'd have to double check that, personally. But I have heard that.
Well, you'll be very happy growing up in Oakland to know that Steph Curry just signed a $201 million contract. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I knew he was up for a new contract. Wow.
And Brantley, this is a guy who could not get a scholarship to college. This is a guy that Nike and Reebok, they don't want anything to do with him. He went to Under Armour, and he's one of the greatest basketball players that we'll ever see. As a Laker fan, I'm kvelling. That's a Yiddish term. Maybe you know that growing up in Queens.
As a New Yorker, yes.
You're an honorary Jew, Brantley Cadet. I'm circumcising you through the radio right now. But anyway, exactly. But I want you to know, we all, if you're a basketball fan, if you're a lover of people and human beings, which you are, what a great story that is, that Steph Curry just got paid. I just love it. Maybe you'll be making the Steph
Curry.
The shooting.
Really remarkable.
He comes down after the half court. They already have to guard him because he could shoot from there. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Brantley, you are an inspiring guy. And what's great is, The world could fall apart. We can have an earthquake, whatever. The last thing that will remain in Los Angeles is your Jackie Robinson sculpture. And when the Martians come and we're all gone, they're going to go up to your sculpture and they're going to go, wow, some one of these people could do this. Incredible. It's going to last forever. And it's really great that you did this for Jackie Robinson. And we're lucky that you were the guy that were able to depict it. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. And thanks again for your really generous and kind words.
Okay, it's my pleasure. God bless you, Brantley Cadet. We really appreciate it. All right, Warriors, coming up next, we'll do some more Clapper Vision. I think I've run out of food to talk about, but I am hungry, Steve Paulette. But I want to get into the gym. I need you to know what is the mistake you all are making, because my office is filled with people who are destroying their rotator cuffs who think they're helping themselves. So I'll get into the anatomy of the shoulder coming up next. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. That's the great Michael Jackson. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. What a loss. But a leader in his own way through music. It's like poetry listening to him. All right. I so appreciate each and every one of you telling all your friends. Get to see a lot of you during the week after you've waited months to come see me as patients. It's great. But what I really love are the letters. The chocolate babka is nice, by the way. But I really love the letters. The old-fashioned snail mail where you sit down with a pen and you write a letter. The address is 800 West Olympic Boulevard here at ESPN. So this is a letter from G. Lynch. I live in Ventura. Hi, Dr. Clapper. And surfed this coast since 1969. I'm 74 years old and I have a boat lettering business in this area. So Ventura Harbor, Channel Islands Harbor, and Santa Barbara Harbor are my areas of business. During the 70s, I taught surfing for Ventura College and Pierce College, and I taught these surfing classes from the Point of Ventura, which is now called Surface Point. Back then, it was just called C Street. He goes on and on, and then he says, my dad was a route truck driver in Midtown Manhattan. He delivered bread and rolls to restaurants in that area. He worked for Fink Bread. I learned how to work hard from watching him go through his life. Winter cold, summer heat, he did what was expected of him and did it with a smile on his face. A wonder of a man. I so enjoy your show. And finally, you gave an address for some of us to write, just to say thanks. Maybe someday we will meet. I hope so. What a beautiful letter. And I love getting them. So keep them coming. You can also follow me on Twitter, even though I'd rather get a letter, at Dr. Robert Clapper. Let's go to Dan in L.A. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, doctor.
How are you? What do you do for a living?
I am a administrative assistant, front desk for a dermatologist.
For a dermatologist? Here's the secret of dermatology, Dan, that I'm going to tell you as you start your career in dermatology.
I'm not really a dermatologist.
Well, you're practically a dermatologist. You're the assistant. Okay. I know how this works. You're really doing everything. If it's if the skin is too dry, smear something on it to make it wet. If the problem is that the skin is too wet, put something on it to make it dry. Thank you. End of discussion. You're done with dermatology. All right. What did you do to yourself? How can I help you?
I believe I have a plantar fasciitis, and I play basketball, and you know I jog after work, and it's been bothering me for almost a month that my right foot, bottom of the heel, is like hurting.
Yes. Okay. You want some Clapper Vision? Do you listen to the show?
I always every Saturday. I wake up every Saturday morning to listen to your show.
Thank you, Dan, for doing that. I appreciate it. So, let me give you a beautiful picture. Brantley Cadet is a real artist. I'm now going to be an artist painting pictures with words so that you understand what the hell plantar fasciitis is. So here we go. The arch of your foot. If you took your shoes and socks off and went to Santa Monica Beach and you jumped into the wet sand and then jumped out of the footprint, you would see the dome. Brunelleschi's dome in Florence. You would see a dome because the arch of your foot is a half dome on the right side, a half dome on the left. You put your feet together and you jump, you've made a little yarmulke in the sand. You've made a dome. I want you to you know what a bow and arrow is. So let's look at a bow and arrow where you have this fiberglass bow and then you have the string of the bow of a bow and arrow. The hard part of the bow, the fiberglass, that arch is like the bony arch of the bottom of your foot. The string that goes from one end to the other is the same material that's under your skin on the bottom of your foot. It literally looks like the string of a bow and arrow going from your calcaneus, your heel bone, to the ball of your foot. And it attaches to the bone just like the string of a bow and arrow attaches to the fiberglass hard stuff. I want you to take the bow and turn it so that the string is touching the ground and the arch of the bow rises from the ground. You got it?
Yes, sir.
So both ends of the bow are touching the floor, but the arch comes up and the string is along the floor. That is your foot. The arch is the bow. The string is the plantar fascia, this canvas-like material, just like the string of a bow and arrow. Now, you're 30 years old. You're still young, but you ain't 20 anymore, because you're really young when you're 20. As we age, Father Time, the string of the bow and arrow starts to dry out a little bit, and the attachment of the string to the bow, or the attachment of the plantar fascia, that canvas-like material under the skin that's attaching to the bone of your heel bone, starts to rip microscopically. That's why it's so painful. That's plantar fasciitis. It feels like you're walking on a nail right there at the calcaneus, right there at the heel bone. I hate cortisone shots. Don't have surgery for this. The right way to take care of this, Dan, you can go on Google, on the internet. There's a website, I want you to go to it, called Yoga Tune-Up Balls. These are basically, this brilliant Jill Martin created tennis balls, essentially, of different sizes and different thicknesses. You take one of these balls, you can buy from her online, put it on the floor, and you, while you're at work, answering the phone, doing whatever, take your shoe off, leave your sock on, put the ball on the floor, and roll the ball under your foot back and forth. Do this 3-4 times during the day. It's like a deep tissue massage that you can do to yourself with this ball that's thick, thicker than a tennis ball. And what you're doing is like a pizzeria guy stretching out the pizza dough to make a pie. You will be elastically stretching the plantar fascia to make it not rip anymore off of the bone. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a week or two. You do this for a month, you will not only get rid of your plantar fasciitis, but you'll keep it from coming back again. Again, no cortisone shots, no surgery for this. You do what I say and you'll get better. Okay, Dan?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
Dan, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to find a total stranger today and do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
You got it. Thanks.
Okay. And thanks so much for listening each and every week. And particularly thanks for telling all your friends, because this show wouldn't happen without them. Until then, I'll see you on the radio.